That's right, he lives. And man, we are excited about that today. And wow, man, what an awesome testimony by Megan, huh? About her encounter with God. And man, yeah, just powerful, powerful. And you know, so many of you have that same story, and it's just awesome this weekend. You know, really in Christianity and in Celebration Church, you know, in fact, that's why we're called Celebration Church. We're not called Celebration Church so we can all come in and celebrate all of our problems. We're called Celebration Church because no matter what's going on in our lives, we always have something to celebrate when we think about the goodness and forgiveness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's great to be able to celebrate his resurrection this weekend. And I want to take a look at a story here in the Bible in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke. So come on, if you hadn't been in church in a while, don't worry about that right now. I promise you, somebody is sitting pretty close to you, and it's been a lot longer. It's been much longer since. So if you only, this is your only time to church this year, don't worry. Someone's sitting around you, they hadn't been in like 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So, but if you have your Bibles, come on. This is an easy one. Just go to the New Testament. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke. Come on, so you can just act like you're all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm there. I'm in Luke. What testament's that in? What is it? No. It's all good, man. Luke chapter 17. I want to take a look at a story here that really typifies a lot what the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ communicates to us on a regular basis. You know, Jesus died for all of our sins, and that is so incredible. When we think about the cross, and we think about that video, you know, that the weight of the world was put on his shoulders, and Jesus died for the sins of the world. But it's also important what the resurrection speaks to us is that, yes, Jesus died for the world, but he also died for you. You matter to God. God knows your name today. He knows right where you are. He knows your questions. He knows your hurts. He knows your struggles. And I want to encourage you, no matter, you know, what you've been going through, no matter where you are, I want to let you know that God accepts you just as you are right now. And you're in the right place. My prayer is that you'd open your heart to God today and just go to that next level in your relationship with him. And so this is a real powerful story. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, just to let you know, back in Bible days, leprosy, man, it was like, I mean, it's really bad now, but just back in the Bible days, I mean, if you had leprosy, that was it. You were outcast. You kind of had your own crowd. You kind of had to stay outside of the city. The only way that you could kind of get back into a normal flow of life was that you were somehow cleansed or healed. And to prove that, if by some way or some miracle you got cleansed or healed of your leprosy, then you would have to go to a priest, and he would have to confirm and say, yes, that this person has been healed of and cleansed of this infectious disease, and it's okay for him to kind of get back in the mainstream of society. And so there's these 10 guys that have leprosy. And in verse 12, it says, as Jesus was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Wow. How about that? How do you think these leper dudes felt? You know what I'm saying? Like, watch this. I want you to imagine the scene that's going on here. Come on, how many of you like how Jesus rolls? You know that saying, like, this is how we roll? This is how Jesus rolls right here. They're the 10 leper dudes. I'm just going to call them the leper dudes. All right? They had leprosy, these 10 guys that had leprosy. And they're all over here. And they hear Jesus is coming through town, okay? So they're just like, man, let's give it a shot. You know what I'm saying? Let's just try God. I mean, what do we have to lose? And so Jesus is coming through the town. They come afar off. They don't even get too close to him, even though they could have, because look, God accepts you just who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. And they just give, it's like the God shot. You know, and they're like, hey, Jesus, Jesus, Master, and obviously they were sincere. They gave God a chance. They gave God a try. Have mercy on us. And so Jesus, he's just rolling through town, man. And he's like, go show yourself to the priest. He doesn't even stop. You know, he doesn't even, oh, what's going on? He doesn't, you know, engage the leper dudes. He doesn't. He's just rolling, man. He's just rolling through. Come on, this is how we roll, Doc. He's rolling through town. And the leper guys cry out and they say, Jesus, have mercy on us. And I think for these leper guys, it was really Jesus passing by here. Man, it represents this event. Like, they don't know. I mean, maybe he'll come back. It'll probably be, you know, a long time before we have this event, before we have this opportunity. You know, it's kind of like Easter weekend. It's kind of like Easter Sunday. You know, you go to church. It's an event. You know, you're going to give God a shot. You know, maybe you prayed that prayer that you saw there that Megan prayed, and you know you need God in your life. Come on, how many of you know that? We know we need God in our life, whether we want to admit that or not. And maybe we have questions, and maybe we don't know how that looks, and how's that going to affect our friend. You know, we have all these kind of questions and fears, but we know that we need God in our life. And so these leper guys, it's like, you know, Easter weekend, and they cry out to Jesus to be cleansed. And I mean, he doesn't stop. I mean, it's like he just rolls, and he's like, go show yourselves to the priest. So you can imagine these guys, man, what are they doing? They're freaking out like a good freak out. They're freaking out. They're like, what are you, the priest? Well, you know what that might mean. I mean, that might mean that we're cleansed. That might mean, man, Jesus just accepted us. Jesus just cleansed us. And sure enough, they start heading over to the priest, all excited. Then look what it goes on to say in verse 15. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Once again, just showing the acceptance of God. Man, God's just a whosoever will come unto him. God, a Samaritan, was like half Jewish, half Gentile, half non-Jew. And they were kind of treated as outcast as well. So this guy was like a double outcast. You know what I'm saying? He was like double gangster bad. He was like double outcast, man. He was leprous, and he was also a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And watch this, verse 19. Watch this. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And let me tell you something about this word well here. It's very different from the first word that we saw where the Bible says, and they were all cleansed, and Jesus healed, or Jesus cleansed them. That word, not to get too deep on you, but that word in the Greek means kathar. It means to be cleansed. It means to be purified. Much like when we come to Jesus because of the blood of Jesus, what does he do? He cleanses us. He purifies us. He washes away all of our sins. But when Jesus told the one that came back to him, he said, arise and go, your faith has made you well. That's not the same word for cleansed. That word actually means whole or complete. The word is sozo. In some Bible translations, it says, rise, your faith has made you whole. See, all 10 got cleansed, but only one was made whole. Track with me here. All 10 got cleansed, but only one was made whole. Only one of them came into the full salvation, the full benefit of what God wanted for him. Only one came in. That word sozo, it means like complete salvation, like body, soul, and spirit. It means to be fulfilled. It means to be healed. It means to be totally saved. It means to be free. And unfortunately, many people, especially like on an Easter weekend, lots of people come in and they get cleansed. They get forgiveness. They ask God to come into their life, but they don't go to the next step. They're not made whole. They're not made well. They're not freed up. They don't experience the joy that God has for them. And you wonder why the whole next year, why things aren't fixed, why you don't see the change, why you don't see the breakthrough, why the hurt is not healed, why you're facing the same pain and the problems and all that kind of stuff. How many of you know life has a way of dishing out pain, man? It has a way of dishing out pain. And Jesus told us that. He said, you know, in this world, you're going to have pain. You're going to have tribulation. But in me, you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have fulfillment. And it's only when we go to that next step and not just receive Jesus as Savior so that we're cleansed, but like the one that came back, we go to the next step and make Jesus our Lord and we press into the things of God. It's only then that we start to experience the power of God and the fullness of God and the joy of God and understand our purpose and start to see things through an eternal perspective. Are you tracking with me today? Don't be just like the nine that got cleansed. Be like the one that got cleansed and got made whole and got freed up and got the whole package from God. And this is the thing. If you look at this, if you look at these nine who got cleansed and then just one that got cleansed, but then he got the whole package, man. He came into the power of God, the fullness of God. The only difference between the nine and the one is that the one came back. You've got to come back. Listen, don't make Easter weekend the one time of the year that you go to church. You got to come back. If you want the full benefit package that God has for your life, if you want to be well, if you want to be complete, if you want to experience God's joy and power, it's not just about coming. It's about coming back. Look what Jesus says here. Look at the heart of God. Okay, one of them came back. Somehow this guy knew. Somehow this guy, there was something about this guy, man. He's like, no, this is being cleansed, being forgiven. This is just the beginning. This is not the end. I'm telling you, man, too many people, they look at Jesus. And he died for our sins. Yes, he died for the sins of the whole world. He died for your sins. But man, that's just the beginning. Resurrection Sunday, he not only died for our sins, but guess what? He rose again so that you could have newness of life, so that you could experience the abundant life, so that you could have a real relationship with God, so that you could know him. God has so many things he wants to show you. God has so many things that he wants you to experience with him. You can feel God's presence. You can know God. You can walk with God. As awesome as forgiveness is, as awesome as cleansing is, understand from the heart of God, that's just the beginning. That's just where it starts. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Look, the guy comes back. Look what Jesus says. Jesus is like, we're not 10 cleansed? Dude, where are the other nine? What's going on here? Where'd everybody go? Think about this. Look at God's heart here. Jesus, this is a picture here. Jesus is like, first of all, he's hurt. He's hurt a little bit. He's like, man, I cleansed 10 and just you came back. You know, we can hurt God's heart. So when we talk about a personal relationship, you understand we're made in the image of God. And of course, we have emotions, and a lot of times our emotions get, you know, messed up because of all the things we experience in life. But do you know God feels? The Bible said Jesus, our Savior, he was acquainted with sorrows. And here we see a picture of God's heart being hurt because the other nine didn't come back, and he's disappointed. Watch. You matter to God. You matter. Many times we think, oh, he died for the world. Yes, but he died for you. That's what Jesus is showing. He's like, where's the other nine? I guarantee you. And Jesus said he knew exactly who they were. Where's Mark? Where's Steve? Where's Alex? You matter to God. Don't be like the nine that just give forgiven and they think that that's just kind of what the deal is. No, man, God wants a relationship with you. He's like, man, where's all the nine? Don't you understand? I mean, the forgiveness, being cleansed, this is just the beginning. The party's just getting started, man. Get ready for all the good stuff. Get ready for all the fun. And I don't know what it was that kept the other nine from going, because I'm sure when Jesus said, go show yourselves a priest, and he cleansed them, I'm sure as they were all walking together, I'm sure there was some dialogue going on. And I'm sure the one leper dude who's about to pull out, he's like, man, look, we got to change direction here, man. There's more to Jesus. There's more to this thing. There's more to this relationship with God. And I don't really know what the reason was why they didn't go. You know, we all have our reasons. Like I said, I think we all realize that we need God, but we just have these things like, we don't know what is it going to be like. Man, I'm talking to some people. Listen. What is it going to be like if I kind of break away from what's familiar? What is it going to be like if I come over here and I actually follow God? I actually put God first in my life. What is that going to look like? Man, as a pastor, I mean, people, it's so funny to hear what people, you know, like if you're single, some single people think, I'll start following God, God's going to make me marry somebody ugly. You know? You're like, what? And you're like, you don't even believe in God yet. And they're like, I do for the bad stuff. People with money, they think if they really start to follow God, like God's going to make them, you know, sell everything they have and go live in a hut in Africa, you know, for like penance. He's not going to make you do that. However, I will ask you to give to the over 7,000 AIDS orphans that we feed every single week in Uganda and Zimbabwe. Come on, can you give? But people have these ideas, like they think, okay, if I follow God, that's going to make me weird. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, I'm going to be like Stovall. No, I can't do it. It's too much. No. No, what? Look, when you follow God, you don't all of a sudden, okay, you start following God, and all of a sudden you were this fun, lively person, then you start following God and you get weird, you know? Like, hey, and you accept Jesus, and you're like, you know, and you show up to your old group of friends and you're just like, yeah, I've met God. Ah. If you follow God and you get weird, it's because you were weird before you followed God. Don't go blaming your weirdness on God. That's how I was before I accepted Christ, or I should say before I came back. See, that was my testimony. I kind of didn't like the first, the nine lepers. I received Jesus. I kind of knew that part. I made Jesus my Lord and Savior. I was all up in the club scene and the bar scene and the party scene. I was doing a lot of cocaine. I just knew I needed God. I knew God. Kind of like that prayer you saw from Megan. I knew God was the only one that could help me. That's kind of all I knew. The most of the churches I was familiar with, they were boring. I didn't feel like I could be accepted. I didn't know there were churches like this. Not anything against any churches, but it was just who I am. I felt like it was like religion. It was a little bit fake or whatever like that. I didn't know it, but I knew I needed Jesus. And so I received Jesus as my Savior. I received forgiveness, but I went through about a year where I was never really whole. I was never really free. I didn't experience God's power. I didn't experience the joy. I didn't really know that there was a lot more until I went for that in about a year. And then I went to a meeting. Thank goodness I came back. I came back to church. You got to come back. You got to come back next week. Christianity is not an event. It is a lifestyle. You're not going to experience God's power unless like the one here, he came back. Just come back. So I came back and I went to this meeting and this guy was speaking. He said, if you never really walked with God this summer, I challenge you to walk with God this summer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me right there and said, Stovall, you've never really walked with me. Now watch. I'd gotten cleansed. I'd received Jesus as Savior. Are you tracking with me? I've been forgiven. I was a Christian. If I died, I was on my way to heaven. That's the most important thing. However, I was not whole yet. I was not pressing into the things of God yet. And right then, I made that decision. I said, that's it, man. I'm going all out for you, God. I'm doing it. I'm going God first. This is it. And from that point on, everything changed. From that point on, I started experiencing God's power. From that point on, I started experiencing God's presence. From that point on, it's like this guy. You see what happens. He comes in, he starts to glorify God. He worships. He starts to grow in his relationship with Christ. He starts to know God. He starts to experience him. From that point, everything changed. But you're going to have to make the decision that you're going to come back. And also another thing that this guy did, you're going to have to make it public. That's right. You know what he did? When he came back, the Bible says in a loud voice, he glorified God. Okay? Now, I'm not saying walk out of here and start acting like a yo-yo and get a giant Jesus bumper sticker with hell flames on the back of it. Don't do that, because you know what? What you're going to do is you're going to be driving like a maniac one day going 90 miles an hour twice over the speed limit, and they're going to blame it on God. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking. What this guy did was he made it public. He came back and he said, okay, look, I'm in. I'm not just doing the one-time event, receive forgiveness from God and being cleansed. I'm in. I'm making this public. I am a follower of Christ. And sometimes, gang, to do that, watch this. He had to break away a little bit from the crowd. He had to do something a little different. Boy, he could have said, well, you know, I can't go back and follow you. I can't make it public because nobody's doing it. Everybody's going over here. You know, everybody's doing it. You know what? Not everybody's doing it. When you think that, what are my friends? Look, if you want something that you've never had, sometimes you've got to do something that you've never done. You got to go for it, man. You got to go for God. Thank you, all three of you. And you got to break away a little bit from the familiar. Now watch this. You know what? I'm sure he went and hung out with the leper dudes again. I'm sure after he began to experience this incredible relationship with God, I bet he went back to the nine and said, man, you guys missed it. Look, you got to come with me. I'm sure all that happened. All that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is, you've got to find that thing in your heart where you say, God, I want you more than anything else. God, even if I'm not sure what my future looks like on this earth or how all this is going to pan out, Lord, what I want to settle is my future in heaven. Your life on this earth, it is a vapor. It is a vapor. We're all going to stand before God one day. And you're going to want to, when you stand before God, look, you're going to obviously want to know Jesus as Savior, but you know what? You're also going to want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You're also going to want to have peace in your heart that you followed God and you did his will. So look what happens here. He understands it's an event, not a lifestyle. And this is kind of how it all wraps up. He comes back. He starts this process of knowing God. Man, he goes all out for it. This is an awesome picture, man. After he experiences God's love, his first encounter with Jesus, he's afar off. His next encounter with Jesus, he's right at Jesus' feet. He's thanking God. He's worshiping God. He's pressing in. Verse 17, Jesus says, you know, man, we're not all cleansed. Everybody matters. You all matter to God. Then in verse 19, this is so powerful. Then Jesus said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. In other words, he talks, you're free. You're on your way. This is a lifestyle. This is a relationship with me. But Jesus says now, arise. Remember when he just said, go show yourself to the priest initially? Now he begins to speak to the guy personally, a personal purpose. He says, arise and go. If you read that in the Greek, Jesus actually says, go your way. Or go on your path. In other words, for the first time in this guy's life, he had purpose. He was actually walking on the way or the path that God has for his life. You can know your purpose. God has a purpose for you. You can know that purpose, but that purpose does not come with a one-time event of receiving Jesus as your Savior. You've got to take the next step. You've got to know him as Lord. You've got to press in, grow in your relationship with Christ, and all of a sudden, you're going to come to this, you're going to have this understanding, you're going to start seeing the way that God has mapped out for your life. And I've got great news. Even if you've been going the wrong way your total life, guess what? God can reroute you right now. How many of you have those GPSs in your car? Who has those GPS? Who has thrown one of the GPSs out the window when they lied to you? Target, I have one. I call her Matilda. She tried to drive us off the interstate one time into a lake. But you know what happens? What happens when you're following? You're on that, and you get off. And it was Matilda or whatever you name your GPS. You take the wrong way. It comes on. It says rerouting, rerouting. Right now, when you make that decision to come back, when you make that decision, God, this is more than an event this time. This is a lifestyle. Guess what? All of a sudden, rerouting, rerouting. God's going to get you right back on the path. You're going to be empowered to rise and go God's way. The path that he has for your life. And next week, look, if you thought this weekend was something, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till next weekend. Because next weekend is about, at least for those of us who live here, or whatever, next weekend is about the comeback. It's about coming back. And I'm going to be talking about an amazing life. And we're going to be looking at this amazing life where Jesus talks about being made whole, the completeness that God wants you to have. He wants you to know your purpose. He wants you to grow in your potential. He wants you to make a difference in the life of others. That's our existence. That's the meaning of life, knowing your purpose, growing in your potential, and making a difference in the lives of others. But you got to come back. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, I'm so grateful. I just sense just awesome things happening in hearts right now. Here's what I want to do right now. What this guy did, the first step, remember when he said, that's it, I'm not just coming, not just a one-time event, but I'm coming back. I want to be free. I want to be whole. I want to know my purpose. The first thing that he did was he made it public. He made it public, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. And look, you might be here with someone, and you might be worried. Well, you know, if I stand up here and I make it public, what are they gonna think? Look, man, just tell them. Just say, look, I had to do it. What is this one guy? What did he think when he had to break away from what was familiar? That crowd, just for a little bit. You have to make a decision. You have to make it public. So I'm going to give you the opportunity in just a second. I'm going to count to three. And if you're ready to make it public, if you're ready to go after God, if you're ready to put God first, you're ready to make it public, I'm going to ask you to stand in your seat. And I'm telling you, God is looking down right now. Think about eternity. Think about Jesus's heart when he looked at the one. He said, where's the other nine? Listen, you matter to God. Don't be like the other nine. Don't just pray that prayer just to receive forgiveness and miss out on the incredible, abundant life that God has for you. Be like the one. He says, God, I'm coming back. I'm making it public. Here's what I'm going to do. When I count to three, if you're ready to make it public, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand up right now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.